1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. This story here, familiar story. Elijah has come onto the scene after a great miracle at Zarephath. And we know that the kingdom of Israel is being led in a direction that is against God and disobedient to God. And on the throne sits an evil king with a wicked queen. And probably if we were to be honest, she's the one that ran the country. Really. She called the shots. So we know that God was not pleased with that. And in verse 1 it tells us, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. See, when good stuff happens and God's doing great things for you, it'll get out. And what it does, it stirs up the bees and the people that don't like you either. And that's exactly what happened. And withal, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. These were their servants. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as thy life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. You understand what she's saying? She said, hey, the same thing you did to them, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be a statistic just like they are. Verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Oreb, the mountain of God. Boy, that's some powerful water and a powerful biscuit, wasn't it? Kept him 40 days and 40 nights. I think there's a reason why God, I had this message prepared for last Sunday night, and God said, wait. I didn't know exactly when, but then when he pulled the trigger and said it was okay to preach it this Sunday night, I understood why. We're living in some bad times. Bad times. And man, isn't it unfortunate that everybody is blaming everybody else, except where the blame really goes to? It's sin. And Satan is the blame. That's the blame. And these times that we're living in cause us great problems. But these great problems call for great people to rise up. Not to judge, not to persecute, but to simply say this. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need the Bible. In times like these, we need an anchor. And I'm thankful that in times like these, we do have an anchor. We do have to. We have someone that we can point people to whenever we are going through these bad times. The great problems call for great people, but also calls for great prayer. Not just saying you'll pray, not just posting you'll pray, not making cool graphics saying I'm praying every day. No, it's actually doing it. Nothing wrong with all those things. Nothing wrong with telling people you're praying. Nothing wrong with telling social media that you're praying. But it's one thing to tell them. It's another thing to do it. Amen. And these terrible times that we're in, great problems are arising. It calls for great people to start praying greatly. And we know that that's true because the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you'll find that the greatest prayers that you pray are not when you have everything at your disposal. The greatest prayers that you ever will pray is when you're down to where you've got nothing left, down to where you're at your wit's end, down to where you're not praying poetry, but you're praying a prayer that's crying out from your heart and saying, God, I need you. That's when you'll pray your greatest prayers. Great problems call for great people, and they call for great prayer, but it also calls for a great plan. And here's the title of my message tonight. We're having all these bad times, and it's just I can't describe to you. No one can describe what we're seeing on a daily basis and an hourly basis. But I can say this with assurance. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. Here it is. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and we look to heaven expecting as we pray, I just feel like something good's about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. I've learned in all that happens just to praise him, for I know he's working all things for my good. Every tear I shed is worth all the investment, for I know he'd see me through. He said he would. He has promised that eye nor ear can hardly fathom all the things he has in store for those who pray. And I just feel like something good's about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. I have noticed all the bad news in the paper and on the fake news, right? And it seemed like things are bleak every day, but for this child of God, it makes no difference, because things are going to get better either way. I have never been more thrilled about tomorrow. Sunshine always bursting through the skies of gray, and I just feel like something good's about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Why do I feel like something good's about to happen? Because of the great plan. God has a great plan. He does. Great problems call for great people and great prayer, but it also shows us God's great plan. God has a plan for our lives, and he has a plan for what's going on right now. And may I tell you this tonight and ask you this question. If your plan hasn't gotten you to where you need to go, it's time to ditch your plan and start living God's plan. Amen. Amen. And God had a plan for Elijah. We all know what that plan consisted of. I mentioned that this country was going in a terrible direction. And Elijah was sent, and Elijah went to Ahab and Jezebel and basically called them out for what was going on. You'll find that in chapter 18. And then we all know the story, how they called for a contest. And they said, here's what's going to happen. We're going to get ours together, our best together. And Elijah called for all the parameters. And you know what happened? They built the altar. They threw the water on it. And they began to pray. He said, go ahead and call upon your God and see if he'll answer. And so they began to pray and began to pray. It got so bad, they began to cut themselves. And they just kept going and going, and nothing happened. And I almost in a humorous way, Elijah said, I wonder if your God's sleeping. Just to kind of persecute him a little bit for what was going on. But then after they were all were done and nothing happened, no fire fell from heaven, Elijah got up and just said a little over 60 words. And the fire of God fell and licked up the sacrifice, licked up the water, licked up the dust around the altar, and fire fell from heaven. And then we also know what happened soon after that. There had been a drought for 3.5 years, and he called to Ahab and said, Ahab, you better make ready, there's rain coming. And the Bible says that there appeared in the sky a cloud the size of a man's hand. And we all know the story. Great things were accomplished through Elijah by the plan of God. But then he got a message. But then, one word from Jezebel. No doubt he was riding high. No doubt, I mean, think about it. If you prayed a prayer and fire fell from heaven, and God gave you strength to slew all those false prophets, wouldn't you be riding high? Wouldn't you think you'd be walking around with your, sticking your chest out a little bit, saying, hey, look at just what happened through me. And the same prayer, the same person that prayed fire down from heaven, now he's under a juniper tree praying he'll die. Now we look down on Elijah. We like to criticize, but every one of us have had an Elijah juniper tree moment. And I'm sure maybe some of you, through this entire ordeal that we've been facing, have said these words, I'm done. Maybe you haven't done it the last 2 months, maybe not even about your spiritual condition, but maybe you said, you know, I'm done with all this. Did you ever just wake up and say, I'm done? I mean, you can't go nowhere, you can't do anything, you can't do what you normally do, I'm just done with it. You know how hard it is for a hugger not to hug somebody? It's hard. And I don't care how many times that I've gotten up, and especially after listening to the media and listening to the daily reports, I'm like, I'm done with all this. I know that's comical. We've all said that. I'm done with the COVID. I'm done with the 6 feet. I'm done with the social distancing. I'm done with the faith. I'm just done. And we all have said that, but this is much more serious. Elijah said, you know what? I'm done with this, Lord. I would rather die than have to live through this. And we look down at Elijah, but listen, we've all done the same thing. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you're more super spiritual than I am. But there have been times when I said, Lord, I'm done preaching. I'm done praying. I'm done with all the heartache. I'm done with all the scoffers. I'm done with all the miles. I'm done with all the prayer requests. Lord, I'm done with the complainers. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Could you just give me a 9 to 5? I'm done. And we laugh. But Elijah was serious. He said, wait a minute, Lord, I just prayed fire down from heaven. And now I'm going to die in a few hours. I'm done. I'd rather you kill me than have a wicked queen kill me. I'm done. But can I tell you this? I just feel like something good's about to happen. Why? Because God has a great plan. And see, what Elijah failed to realize is, as Dan testified tonight, right along with this message, even in his lowly estate, even in his depressed and discouraged situation, even though the words out of his mouth said, I am done, I'm finished, I'm through, I'd rather die, God still wanted to use him. Israel was going the other direction, and God was going to use Elijah to turn them around and replace the king and the queen. He was wanting to use Elijah. And listen, I don't care if you said you're done. I don't care how far you think you're too far gone for God to use you. God can look down at you under that juniper tree tonight and say, I can still use you. I can still use you. And as Dan already testified, and as we've said so many times before, we just got to be willing to be used. And if God sees someone that he can use, my friend, he's got someone that can win people to Christ and can get the job done through the plan that he has devised. He's got a great plan. What's the plan? If you don't know what God's plan is, it's simple. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. His plan is also this: given it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Stick with the plan. It works. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show you great and marvelous things which thou knowest not. It's a plan, and it works. All you got to do is cooperate with the plan. So if we're going to do that, if we're going to follow God's great plan, what do we have to do? Four things really quickly. Now, the introduction is longer than the message. Number one, I want you to notice, we've got to remain focused. We've got to remain focused. One message from an evil queen made him forget everything that had just happened the previous chapter. One message made him forget. Now, we all have memory problems, don't we? If you say you don't, you're lying. I mean, how many of you the last few months have found yourself looking at a TV with 2,000 channels and you don't even know what you're looking at? I mean, you just sit there, just in a daze. Has anybody ever sat at a green light and saw it was red? I mean, I'm telling you, you don't have to admit that. I'm telling you, your mind, surely none of you has walked into a room and not remembered why you walked in there, and then walked back out in the previous room you came from and kind of like reset button and kind of walked back in and said, well, maybe this will remind me. I'm constantly emailing myself to remind myself of stuff I need to do. I emailed myself yesterday, but then I forgot what the room. All day long, Cal, I said, Heather, this email has the subject line of this, but I can't even remember why I sent the email and what it means. So I had the reminder. I figured it out this morning when I woke up with a fresh mind. We forget. And if we don't watch, one message from the evilness of this world, the news that is encompassing our minds, can make us forget what God has already done for us. Elijah forgot the power of God was still available. One message from an evil queen, a threat to his life, caused him to run away, afraid of what may happen. And yet he forgot that the same power that was able to rain down fire from heaven and cause rain to appear after 3.5 years of drought, the same power, he still had it available to him. All he had to do was call upon the name of the Lord. And may we remember, during these great problems that we're facing, remember we still have the same power that Elijah had at our disposal. The same power. Don't let Satan and the evilness of this world make you forget that our God has all power. Amen. Remain focused. Amen. Remain focused. What else do we have to do? Not only do we have to remain focused, but we have to refuse to panic. This was a threat. This was a threat. May I say it one more time? It was a threat. A serious threat, but it was a threat. And Elijah, the one who had just prayed down fire from heaven and caused all these great things to happen, is running away with his life in panic and fear. Because he simply could not remember what God had done for him. And he panicked. And I think maybe one thing the Lord showed me, and there's one thing that maybe led to his panic, is one thing he said. He said, oh Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father. See, he was trying to compare himself to the generations behind him. And what we understand, sometimes what leads to our panic is we are spending our lives comparing ourselves to the generation behind us. Listen, as I mentioned to a couple of weeks ago, the fight that we are facing, last week rather, the fight that we are facing is not the fight they had before. God still has the same power, but the things we do today are different than what the times that were, even in my dad and my grandfather's generation. We can't compare ourselves to the ones that came before us. We have to understand God has a plan just for us. I would like to try to raise my children the way my dad raised me, but they're different times. I can use the same methods and I can use the same guidebook, but I can't spend my life trying to be my dad when God's plan for my dad is different than God's plan for me. That'll cause us to panic if we try to compare ourselves to what others and who has come before us. He panicked. And if we are going to follow God's plan, we've got to remain focused and we have to refuse to panic. And finally, we have to respond to the message. Elijah had a moment of fear. Remember, this was just a moment. This wasn't months or years out of his life. This was just a moment of time where Elijah panicked and fear overcame his body. Maybe you're different than I am, and I don't care to be as transparent with you as I possibly can. There's things that I'm afraid of in this world, physical things. But there's nothing worse than a spirit of fear. And I can't tell you the last few weeks how Satan has sent out of nowhere things that will just, that cripple me in a moment of time. And I guess when we see all the things that are happening, and then all of a sudden you hear things that happen close to your home, and then you think, oh, that could happen to my son. That could happen to my daughter. And before you know it, you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden panic sets in. You can't breathe, and a spirit of fear comes on you. I can't say that. I've had that happen before, but it's frequent lately. You know why? Because Satan's battlefield is the mind, and he would like nothing else than to keep this preacher afraid. And for a temporary moment, fear overcame me. But then I was reminded really quickly, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And any fear is not generated by God, it's generated from Satan, the author of fear and confusion. And I fully have trusted in the Lord my entire life, and I've given my kids to him. And I fully am resting on he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I know the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and keep him. So that fear leaves, but it's there temporarily. And that's what happened to Elijah. For a temporary moment of time, he had a moment of fear. But something down on the inside, even though he wanted to quit, even though he wanted to die, the Lord wouldn't let him do it. He saw something within Elijah that Elijah didn't even see within himself. And God did something great, didn't he? He gave him a little bit of hope to keep him going. And what was that hope? That hope was in an angel. As Elijah was under that juniper tree, the angel of the Lord came and touched him. And he spoke to him and said, arise and eat. And then he gave him some cake and a cruse of water. And he laid down again and he woke him up again and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey you're about ready to take, it's too great for thee. And this is what the Lord showed me through this, and it blessed me. I don't know if it'll bless you, but it blessed me. The word angel in the Hebrew actually means messenger. And we know angels were messenger. And instantly the Lord showed me, he said, Brian, at the height of his ministry, he got a message of death. But at the lowest point in his ministry, he got a message of life. God sent him a messenger in the form of an angel. And here was the message. Wake up, get something to eat, and get on down the road. This ain't no time to quit. It's time to respond to what God is telling you to do. It's time to keep going. It's time to go forth. And listen, folks, I just feel like something good is about to happen. Satan wants us to quit. Satan wants us to shut up. Satan wants to silence us. But the angel of the Lord is sending a message. And the message is, wake up, get something to eat, and get on down the road. It's no time to quit. It's time to press on for Jesus. Amen. Amen. The message. Wake up, get something to eat, and go down the road. And that's exactly the message that God gives us. When we are dead to sin, God sends us a message. Wake up from your dead sleep. Rise up. I got you something to eat. That'll keep you as long as you need to go. And I'll give you the direction you need to make it to the mountain. Aren't you glad that when we serve Him and when we trust in Him and trust in His plan, He says, rise up from your sleep. I'm going to give you enough to make it every day of your life. And bless God, I'm going to point you in the right direction to get to the mountain. Hallelujah. And to some, just a little bit of cake and a little bit of water wasn't much, but it was exactly what he needed to make it all the way to his destination. And hallelujah, if you haven't caught on yet, I'll give you time to catch up. But he said he would supply our daily bread and he would lead us and guide us. I'm glad when I followed his plan, he's given me exactly what I need to make it home. Hallelujah. And you may not think you have enough, but a dollar plus God will get you a long way. You may not think you got enough, but a little bit of prayer plus God will go a long way. You may not think you got enough, but a little bit of hope plus God will take you a long way. You may not think you got enough, but a little bit of faith plus God will get you a long way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may not think you got enough, but a little bit of healing plus God will take you a long way. Aren't you thankful tonight? You may not think you got enough, but one soul plus a drop of blood will take you all the way to heaven. Little is much when God is in it. Woo, glory to God. Parsons family, go on and come. Parsons family, come and get ready to sing. So guess what? I just feel like something good's about to happen. I feel like something good is on his way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, this could be that very day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray. I just feel like something good's about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Are you ready?